Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to get talk about getting going down a rabbit hole in a Twitter machine, you would know nothing about that except for what you encountered over the weekend in doing just that.
I will just say that the one tweet that I put out on the Chicago Bears offense garnered a lot more reaction than talk about my son pitching a really nice game and a win over Oz Park on Saturday.
Great game. You know what?
That's fine. We'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get to that. Okay. Yeah. Because I want to talk about the double-double with the soccer game and the pitching performance. But let's spend a little time on your Twitter excursion. Because I was on vacation, but it did catch my attention in scrolling through.
I'm going to read you the tweet. And maybe Studs can chime in as well, because I want you to react just naturally to the tweet that I put out, and you can understand the insane reaction that came back to this. But the tweet said, "Moratorium. Stop saying the Bears offense averaged 30 points per game for a big chunk of last season. They averaged 31.0 for a four-game, 21-day stretch. In six games before that, 15.5 points per game. In seven after that, 15.6. They were bottom 10 in scoring, 19.2 points per game, 20.2 in Justin's starts." Wow, did that set up a firestorm?
Okay, well, we can bring Studs into the equation. Here's the one thing that I objectively would suggest. What you said and how you read it right there was a very reasonable
Is it a tone problem again with me, which is often a case with me?
Not so much a tone problem, Dan. But here's the thing, and I don't, I'm not, far be it from me to give you Twitter advice. But when one uses all caps, it suggests that you are screaming.
Moratorium!
Yes. So all I'm saying is that, subtlety is there's strength in subtlety.
Understood.
And when you use all caps, you're not going for subtle. You're going like, listen to me because I am right and you are wrong, Bears fans. Okay. Just a little bit. Even though what you reported there is factual, is defensible, and is reasonable. But the way that you presented it, I would have probably, if I were copy editing your tweets, I would have said, maybe not the screaming all caps moratorium.
Before I take the stand, I'll get Studs' take, and then I'll defend myself a little bit.
I'll just say, you presented some facts. That's what it was. But I think that what people took issue with was, it wasn't a large chunk or what it not. Or was it not? When it's semantics, we're talking about 25% of the season, the average 30 points a game. So that's a quarter of the season-ish. And so I wouldn't qualify that as a large chunk, but I would say a chunk of the season they had a pretty good offense. That's my only takeaway. I didn't have any issue with it. I was like, oh, yeah, he's right. You have to keep in mind that after that stretch, the offense regressed. Now you can talk about, why that was, injuries. Justin was dealing with some, banged up everything. He was running 1,000 miles a week. So but it's really just semantics, I think, was what set people off. It was very Bears Twitter. And you got to understand too, Bears fans are in a place where they only want to feel good. So
that's every team's Twitter following.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Only one. Well, especially
following.
It's, especially, you know, coming off a season where we just forgave a team for losing 10 games in a row and having the number one pick in the draft, and a lot of people just embraced it. And now the arrow seems to be pointing up in a lot of ways. So when you come out and you present and you try to temper expectations, which is what you've been doing for a while, like it sets people off. Instead of just scrolling past it, instead of just scrolling past it, they decide they have to respond. So
I don't temper expectations. I create a reality zone, and the reality zone has a fence that I like to keep people inside of, because when you get outside of the reality fence, people start doing crazy things, and they're doing keg stands on the roof, and they're doing cannonballs, triple Lindy's into kiddie pools below, and it's dangerous. And that's all I'm trying to do, and I probably should stop doing it.
No. Don't stop doing it, but just again. It's a little bit in the wording. You say reality zone. I say middle ground. It sounds less threatening when you say middle ground, because what we're talking about is essentially the same thing, but it's all in the presentation. So if you're trying to light a fire and strike a match, blowtorch, fine. But if you're trying to make a point without necessarily, making a big ruckus, but I think that sometimes you don't mind the ruckus, and that's okay too. Because that's what Twitter is for.
I have a quick stat correction for Studs. It was not 25% of the season. It was 23.5% of the season, because the season has expanded to 17 games. So more than three quarters of the season, they had an offense that was half as good points per game wise, right? Averaging less than 16 points per game in the first six games of the year and the final seven. And yet people focus on a 4-game, 21-day sample size as being the compass that tells them the direction to go on their GPS. And you go, well, wait a second. Why are you ignoring the sample size that is three times as big as the one that you chose? That's the part that I don't get. And people continue to do it. And I got to stop pushing back on it. Or in David's case, to take your advice, I can push back. Let's just do it in a stone down,
a little bit of a nudge, more of a nudge than a shove. Okay,
that's fair.
Because nudges can be effective. It just is if you're persistent with the nudge. Here's the one thing, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole entirely, but I did wonder this: how in the world did you get from using real logical math in terms of Justin Fields' season to defending the decision to cut Chuck Leno?
I didn't get there. Bill Zimmerman, I don't even know who he works for anymore, but I know he's one of the leaders of the group, I'll say. The group. I already toned down what I was going to say in my head.
Thank you.
And he said that he pulled up a tweet of mine from whenever Charles Leno got cut. I don't remember what year that was. And I said that the Bears would be saving a big chunk of salary cap space by cutting Charles Leno and getting $9 million dollars back on their cap space. He went and equated that $9 million off the total cap and said that was only 5%, and that didn't qualify as a big chunk, but somehow 25% of the games doesn't qualify, all this. And I said, look, the Bears at that time, when they cut Charles Leno, had $500,000 worth of salary cap space. They got an 1,800% increase in salary cap space by cutting Charles Leno. Therefore, it qualified as a big chunk. It was a stupid thing that he obviously went out and searched on Twitter at Dan Wiederer, big chunk, and pulled that up to try to pin me in a corner on something that was really stupid. And so there is a point where I get your point, and I'm going to tone it down, but I also am going to be allowed to defend myself when some of these people come at me so full-fledged that it makes absolutely no sense. I know I'm Voldemort in some of the world.
That's what I was talking about when I said some people were out there arguing semantics. I didn't know if you were going to bring up that specific tweet, because I also saw that and I was like, well, this is just semantics.
It's
like,
just
who cares
at that point, right? Yes. Correct.
We're arguing over the definition of big chunk, which is just the ultimate Twitter argument.
Well, ultimate Twitter is a great way to describe all of this. It's why the day that I get out of this business is the day I delete Twitter from my phone and never turn back. I'll say good seeing y'all and have fun down the road.
One thing you have to count on when you're playing the Twitter game, and this is why I'm trying to give you some sort of reasonable advice here. You can never account for the non sequitur gotcha. Okay.
They're coming.
We'll try to play the non sequitur gotcha game, because pull something that you tweeted at some point that related to what you're tweeting now and find the inconsistency or the illogical connection. But It just is one of those things that comes with the territory.
My last sentiment on this, I have enough self-awareness to understand that Twitter does me no favors. I do Twitter no favors. I am not built for Twitter. I think that people that listen to me, that watch our videos, that see me in different forums, I like understand what I'm saying. Twitter doesn't do it well because I struggle with tone on there. Caps lock gets into my way every once in a while. Exclamation points get out there. A little bit of condescension creeps into the way I phrase things. And I can't wriggle free of it. But the much more likable version of me is here talking to you right now.
Self-awareness is a good thing. And I'm not criticizing as much as I'm trying to help you out. Because I felt for you when I was on vacation and going down a rabbit hole and I couldn't stop you. Okay, moving on.